Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we talk about money because there's more than just math to your finances. Let's get talking. Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and today we're talking about what it means to succeed financially, because success today looks so different than it did for our parents or grandparents. No more does it make sense to buy a house with the white picket fence and live the same lifestyle because it's likely unaffordable. We may face financial situations where we're asked to commute far distances and work for long hours for a much different financial picture than many imagined or we were told about growing up. It can make it really hard to have a good mindset when it comes to making money or using it for our benefit when this image of financial success is not panning out like we were promised. Today's guest is going to help us all with reframing financial success and understanding how it looks different for younger generations in today's world. I know it can be difficult, especially with inflation, political uncertainty, tariffs, price hikes, insane amounts of fees that are being added onto everything, feeling like you have to tip everywhere, and wages that refuse to keep up with the rest of the economy. It can be a real challenge, and I've seen it make many people want to throw in the towel because it's so frustrating to figure out what to do. Well, I hope today I can help you all address this concern and rewrite financial success in your mind with today's episode. I know it's going to be a great one, so sit back, relax, and enjoy today's Money Talk. Today's Money Buddy is Ron Turba. Ron is a spirit-filled believer whose life mission is to improve the financial well-being of believers through biblical principles. Ron has spent a career in finance, accounting, and consulting, serving multiple Fortune 500 clients. Ron currently consults individuals and businesses to increase, save, invest, and protect their money. But the money talking points for this week are: where do you feel like financial success is different for you than it was for your parents? 2, how can you break out of your current situation to increase your income? And 3, how can writing down your goals help you? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Ron to the show. Welcome to the show, Ron. Thank you so much for joining. I'm excited for this conversation.
I'm excited too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So as we go ahead and get into this, kind of my thoughts as we talk about this is the title of the episode is that finances is different now than it was for your parents. So there's some different things we need to be thinking about for younger and future generations. This is something you like to talk about. You also like to talk about stewarding money. So I'm really excited for this one, but let's get into some of the different opportunities about financial success for young adults and how it looks different. Let's start with, what was financial success for past generations?
I think the general consensus has been, from a societal point of view, was, you know, I've got the money, the house, the car, and everything, and, you know, the white picket fence. That was sort of the goal back then. But again, from my perspective, it does look how you would like it to look. If your personal desire for financial success is to have a certain amount of possessions, whatever quality they are, then that's going to be success for you. And your economic endeavors are going to reflect that. From my perspective, what I like to talk about for most folks is whatever you have now sort of have a stretch for what you'd like to do in the future. And that doesn't have to do with what you want to do. Maybe that's something you want to give to somebody else, an endeavor you'd like to build to be able to pass on. It's not just for our own personal success, but financial success can be holistic. That's something I'd like everyone to at least think about beyond, of course, a lot of the times in the finances today in America, a lot of people are not doing as well as we would like them to. So they're thinking about themselves, which, again, nothing wrong with that. We're all selfish beings of some sort. But as we start getting better and moving forward, we can start expanding our horizons a little bit.
I like that, expanding our horizons. And we're going to expand those today through this conversation. But just also to kind of give a little bit more preface to this, that those past generations, that white picket fence idea that you talked about, what are some of the bad things that left behind with money, like chasing that success and stuff?
I think the worst thing that people can do when chasing financial success is leaving everything else behind. It's not just your family or your wife or your kids, but also your soul. I come at this from a very spiritual perspective, and so it's a little bit different than somebody who isn't a spiritual believer, so to speak. But the concept still remains the same, is that you don't have to give up the things personally for your life to achieve the financial success that you want to. For somebody listening right now who's maybe a truck driver, that may seem very difficult to believe, but I can promise you that that is definitely the case. That there's a specific avenue for financial success just for you to achieve what you want to achieve while also keeping the things that are important to you from falling apart in your life.
Yeah, and I like the way you just framed that right there. The things that are important to you from falling apart, because whether it's a spiritual belief or not, that whole idea of your soul being left behind, like in a corporate job, it can really suck it out of you if all you're doing is chasing the money continually, and that's all you're going for is that financial success. So I like how that picture gets painted a little bit. Regardless of where you are on your definition of soul, so to speak, there is that anchor of what you enjoy and want to enjoy in your life.
Agreed. And I think the example that I like to give is somebody who starts a business endeavor. Again, that's a very noble endeavor for any of us. All right. I know, for example, for you, you have this, you have this show and it's growing and that's awesome. But for somebody who's growing a business and leaves everything else behind, and maybe they get a nice exit at 40 or 45 for $100 million or something like that, now they're dead 2 years afterwards because their stress just killed their physical body through that growth. That's what we want to avoid. And there are ways to see that success without having to do that and leave it behind.
Yeah. Sure. Regardless of where you are on your age spectrum, like whether you're in your 40s or 50s, or if you're lucky enough to be listening to this in your 20s and you can set up your career for that sort of success, there's always opportunity to change and adapt so that we're not at that point where we're dying a few years later after retiring, because that would be a huge bummer.
Imagine working for 40 or 50 years and then you die 2 years later.
Yeah, that's just depressing to think about.
It is, but there's things that you can do today to avoid that.
All right. Yeah, and we're looking at this new idea of a slow success or a slow business. But what has caused this shift over time to go from seek the money, seek the success, to maybe what we're going to talk about here in a moment?
Okay, so there's a lot of different things that to unpack with that. And one of the things that I like to discuss, especially for younger generations, which I know are more likely to view this, and that's mostly who I talk to, is that because of the difference in economics, the society that we live in America today, our avenues and how we earn money, spend money, and invest money have to be very different than what our parents did. They grew up in a different time, and the world that we were given is very different than the one they were given. When we talk about the job that maybe your parents had in a factory, that factory is no longer here. We basically have two solutions that I know we're going to get to that in a second. But ultimately you can either just sit and pout and blame, or you can adapt. All right. And adaptation is going to have to look very different. If you're in your 20s listening to this, you cannot do what previous generations did, because that success will not work for a number of different reasons.
Yeah. And one of the things that comes to my mind initially, especially if you're young, is don't seek that big house. Renting may be a better option. So you have to adapt and adjust. Most of us probably saw our parents living in some suburban single family home, and that might not be attainable right now. So that's just one of the things where you might have to look at adapting. But there's definitely more out there.
There definitely is. And I want to make it clear that if you have that desire for whatever piece of property that you have, maybe you're in your 20s right now and you look at, man, one day I would like to own this. That's okay. And there's avenues to be able to get that. All right. But ultimately, whenever I speak to somebody about what they would like to do with their financial future, I have to understand that increase has to be part of that. All right. If my first question is, what's your income? And then my next question is, what's your plan to increase that? Again, it doesn't have to be, hey, I want to double it in 2 years. All right. It doesn't have to be that way. But if you don't, you're going to be left behind. And that's what I want to avoid for people, because we live in an era where you have 8 to 10% inflation every single year. All right. And if you have the same job for the next 5 years, well, guess what? In 5 years, your income is basically going to be cut in half because of the cost of living. All right.
Yeah.
And one of the examples that I like to use is the argument from older generations, just stop eating avocado toast and you'll buy the house.
Yeah. Like the latte factor kind of stuff.
The latte factor. And I ran some numbers on that because somebody got me into that argument. All right. So let's just say for the moment that you eat $8 a day in avocado toast and you fasted from that endeavor, that succulent endeavor, so to speak, for the past 5 years. If you took that $8 a day and invested it 7% tax-free, you would have had an extra over the past 5 years about $17,000, right? Mm. Here's the problem. The median home price in America grew from $300,000 to $400,000 during those 5 years. So the extra $17,000 that you earned and saved wouldn't even cover the increase in the down payment.
Yeah.
So don't talk to me about lattes and avocado toast. There's something else going on. And if you're not willing to discuss that, you are going to be left behind.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've heard the same points where it's like, sure, there is money there. If you want to cut back on those little itsy bitsy things, you can, but it's not going to make that difference. Like you just said, it's not going to make that difference in figuring out how to catch up to rising home prices and things like that. It's all about how can you grow yourself, further your income, mm-hmm. do things to help you make more money. That's awesome. You can do those little things, but it's not going to make that big of a difference in the grand scheme. So enjoy your life with the little things and then grow your income to help make up that bigger gap.
100%. That has to be the focus. If you're in your 20s right now, you have to do that or you're going to be left behind, period.
Yeah.
Again, you can either blame or you can adapt. Mm-hmm. Those are your two options.
Yeah. And it's going to be hard work. I think that's the main thing to take out is it's going to be tricky, but how is this younger generation spearheading a new way to succeed financially? And how are they moving on from the old methods?
Yeah, so I think people who are in a younger generation are very quickly realizing that that avenue isn't working. So they're doing other things that maybe previous generations didn't have the opportunity to. Remember, we have a phone in our hand right now that an older generation would require 30 different devices to achieve. So we have opportunities today from technology, but also, like we just said, those opportunities make things a lot easier and more seamless to become more entrepreneurial, so to speak. And so when somebody is in their 20s and they're going on an endeavor that previous generations said, that's never going to work, just get a job. That's something that younger generations are realizing. Nothing wrong with a job. It's going to produce income. But at some point, you're going to have to look at some other endeavor that's going to not have a cap on what you have. And I think they're spearheading that in a lot of different ways that other people may not have done in the past.
Yeah. And how can we accept this and embrace it? Because I think it can be a little demoralizing to say, oh, I got to go figure out some new way to work or some new way to make income. It's not just as easy as get a job, get your raises, keep up, get the house and whatever. How do we accept and embrace this new method?
That's going to be some soul searching. And if I meet somebody and the first thing out of their mouth of their big achievement was something that happened in 1995, that's somebody who's been complaining for 30 years. And they're going to struggle financially for the rest of their life until they realize that I've got to do something better today. And my life can't have peaked 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or 30 years ago. That is a very big challenge for a lot of folks. From a spiritual perspective, it's a little bit easier to do that. But again, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you're going to have to understand and have a better vision for what you'd like to do to keep you moving forward and increasing. Because if you have that desire, going back to the guy in the 20s who says, my dream home is XYZ, all right? I think, okay, what's my income at my job? What are my possibilities of increasing that where I am? Wait, I can't achieve that. So I have to look for something different. Truly, and I'm going to tell you this right now. When you truly desire that path of increase and realizing that what I'm doing now is not going to work, you're going to have opportunities show up for you when you're mentally prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's very difficult to believe because you have to be able to see the unseen to achieve that. And that's every single person that I have spoken to who is quote unquote fell into a business endeavor. Okay. Every single one that I have spoken to had that exact same frame of mind right before the endeavor fell into them. Every single one without question.
Yeah. You finally get to that breaking point and you're like, okay, mentally, I'm ready to move on. I'm not getting this next raise. I'm not getting the increase that I want at my current job. And then suddenly someone posts something and you're like, oh, that's really interesting. Let me learn a little bit more about that. And then suddenly you're trying it on your own. I love that getting yourself to the mental place is going to just open doors for you.
For me, I got a flyer in the mail.
It's that sort of stuff. And you just, when you look back on it, you're like, how did I end up here? It's like, just well-timed things. Things are going to play out for you in the right way. You have to have a little bit of faith in yourself that you're going to be able to see it and notice it when it's time to move on. So 100%. I love that. That's fantastic. How can we help others embrace this new mentality? So maybe our friends are struggling. They're like, oh, I need to ask for a raise at work. And you're like, no, you need to maybe move on. How do we help others embrace this new method?
I think your channel is doing a great job of that. I mean, right before I came on here, I was listening to a few other episodes that you've done that talked about very similar avenues as well. The best thing for you to do to be able to embrace that is to find a group of folks who are like-minded. And that group is going to be a few people here, a few people there, but those people are going places. They have a desire to do better. They want to be able to provide better. Those are sorts of folks and groups that you need to be around. And again, that's going to come to you. They're very similar to the opportunity to come to you in a similar manner as well. But you have to desire it and be humble that when you go into a room and you're not the best person in that room, that there's people that you can learn from.
Yeah. Over the last couple of months, one of the things I have been learning a lot is that so many people are getting away from people. I think that's the most important thing about new opportunities. Doors will open when you're ready. As soon as you tell someone, hey, I am thinking about leaving this job, suddenly, oh, hey, I know five people that could help you in that endeavor. As we lean more into connections and relationships, that's especially going to help even our financial success by opening up new avenues.
Agreed. Here's the number one key to tack onto that. Where does money come from? People.
Other right? people pay you money, so you got to know them.
And that's going to help you. I think if you're going to increase a skill set, again, in your 20s or 30s, number one skill to increase right now is not necessarily the skill set of, oh, I need to be a better doctor, I need to be a better consultant, a better IT tech, whatever that is. I need to be a better communicator. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the number one skill that you can learn right now that's going to help you increase financially.
Knowing how to stay connected with people, stay on top of things,
yeah,
and stay relevant is going to be a huge deal when it's time for you to flip that switch and grow your income. Mm-hmm. What are some things that maybe this new success, I'm sure it's not all roses and rainbows, right? There are challenges that probably will pass on to the next generation that they're like, why did the old people do it like this? What are some of those maybe cautious tips that we need to avoid as we're trying to succeed?
The one thing that as you asked me that question, I was thinking about, because that one was a challenging one for me, because I wanted to come up with a good answer. For me, the biggest challenge was not being driven by my budget. And what do I mean by that? If you're going to be in an endeavor that's going to allow you to increase and not have a cap on the increase that you can have, I'm not talking about like a car salesman. Believe me, I'm not going that route, but you are going to have to be able to sell at some point. If all of your financial decisions are driven by the monthly budget that you put in, what you're going to start saying to Amazon and Best Buy is, you know what, I don't really need that right now. And that's going to help you save more. It's going to help you get the green and put towards debt and increase and all that for your own personal perspective.
That's the sort of toast thing. You're looking for those little expenses to trim off from Amazon and things like that.
Correct. But here's what's going to happen. When you go to increase your endeavor, whatever that is, and you try to make a sale, if that's your mindset of, I don't need that from Amazon, Best Buy, avocado toast, then you're going to portray that to your potential clients and customers. So they're going to say to you, I don't need your service. Okay? And that's going to hurt you. Again, I will tell you this right now up front. I could tell you every single dime that my wife and I have spent, I have it tracked from the time we were married and combined bank accounts. I could tell you that 100%. And I track it every single month. I know exactly where all my funds go, our investments, all of that and how it's doing. But I will tell you this, one thing that I have had to learn that's helped me in my economic endeavors is that that doesn't drive me. If I want to save an extra $4,000 a month to pay down the debt, and a business endeavor comes along and I have to spend $1,000 to go to an event or something that's going to help me. Well, guess what? If you're driven by your budget, you're going to say, I need that $4,000. I've got to be on schedule to pay off my debt, or I got to be on schedule to retire or something like that. You can't do that if you're going to be able to increase. Okay.
That's really interesting.
Something that I have had to learn, and it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
It's definitely stirring the pot in my mind because I have every penny tracked. I could tell you how much we spent at some random gas station for a specific trip. But I really like what you're saying there because I'm thinking about FinCon, the conference I like going to. And there's one coming up in September. I'm committed to going, but last year's one, it was definitely that sort of, do I want to spend that much money on this? Yeah. The ticket's not cheap. But there's got to be a point where you take risks with your money, just like investing. Mm-hmm. Investing is a safer risk than a whole out business endeavor.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a point where you're saying, okay, I'm going to put this $1,000 up. I really like the idea of shifting your mindset away from having the budget control it and going after those income and business opportunities. That's going to be a really useful one for me. So I know our audience is going to take that one away and run with it. That was a fantastic.
Yeah, that's answer. Something you do not hear very often. Mm-hmm. You don't. And that's something that I like to talk about whenever I'm with whomever it is. If it's an audience of one, fantastic. If there's only one person who gets that, for me, it's worth it.
Well, then I hope this interview is worth it for you because you got me with that one. So that's 100%. Fantastic. Let's move into some of the good things that are coming from previous generations. It's not all bad with mm-hmm. what our parents and grandparents were trying to do financially. What are some of the things that we need to replicate from them or that we should take as a lesson?
I think something that they really did well was they enjoyed their money. For sure. Previous generations definitely did. I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to open a credit card, spend 10 grand on my dream vacation. I'm not talking about that. They were tight on a lot of their finances. Some of the things where they saved a little bit extra at the end of the year and said, you know what, we've got some extra. Let's go ahead and spend it. Let's enjoy. I do find that very beneficial from previous generations as well. All right. That's something I really take for granted as well. That's something very difficult to do if you're somebody driven by the budget, so to speak.
Yeah, you got to make sure you are enjoying your money. That's a challenge for my wife and I as well, is saying, hey, we're spending this money. We went on a trip to Hawaii, but we saved for years for that. And when we got there, we did not care what we spent money on. We weren't driven by the budget. We were driven by the income to save the money to go on that trip. Yeah. And when we got there, it was like, yeah, let's go out to eat. Oh, that was expensive. Who cares? We knew we had enough to build our buffer that we weren't really going to run into a severe problem. I love that idea of enjoy the money.
What part of Hawaii did you go to?
We went to Maui and Oahu. We were there for about 12 days. So
Fantastic. My wife and I, we did our honeymoon, was Maui for 2 weeks. Yeah. My goodness. Time of our life. My favorite photo of my wife and I of our entire marriage was taken at a waterfall on the road to Hana.
Yeah, we did the road to Hana and spent about 3 days in that area. So we've probably seen the same waterfall.
Absolutely. Fantastic place.
Yeah. So if you take nothing from this podcast, just know that Hawaii is a great trip.
Start saving for it. It's worth it for sure.
Yes, it was. But let's move into some of the things that people can do to begin to progress and move their finances forward. How do people avoid getting stuck in their old ways, or what tends to keep them from wanting to change or maybe leaving that job and going after more income?
They stop setting goals. Mm. That's the number one key for most people. It doesn't have to be, it's got to be a goal. That's a podcast in and of itself. How to set goals. Because again, we have long-term goals, we have short-term goals. Something that you can achieve, even just in the short period of time, will help you get moving and go forward to where you would like to achieve, okay? Mm. Some of you, it could be just a short goal. By 3 months from now, I wanna be able to earn an extra $500 on top of what I'm currently doing. That's a short-term goal, but that's a good goal for somebody who's had a job for their entire life and has never had more than one source of income. And their goal is, hey, I want to earn an extra $500 somehow over the next 3 months. That's a nice goal. You'd be surprised how something like that is going to get you somewhere. People who tend to be stuck in their old ways, they think about some achievement that they've had in the past, and it identifies them as who they are. You and I both live in small towns, and there are people in our towns who think about their state championship from 1983, and that's all they think about all day long. Mm. Those are people who peaked in 1983. Because that's who they are, and that's what their identity is. That's a problem. Those really are two things that keep people stuck.
Yeah, I love that. If you're so hung up on your old achievements, maybe it was your promotion you got 2 or 3 years ago, and you really heavily identify as what you got promoted to, but you're not thinking about that next thing. Maybe moving on from the job or things like that. So I love the idea of keep setting goals. That's going to help people break through their beliefs, which was my next question. So thank you for answering 2 in 1. That was fantastic. Yeah. But do you have any other tips of how people can break through their beliefs about money that are maybe just stuck and they can't move?
The first thing you have to understand is you don't know everything. That's one of the keys to being humble, is thinking about, okay, I don't know. No matter how much I have achieved, I don't know everything, and I need to learn more to be able to get to my next level. That's the key that I would like for people to understand. Even on the path that I've been on, even where I am today, I don't know everything. I need to learn some new things to help me get further along. Those beliefs are generated from experiences in the past. So if you grew up in a family that was struggling financially, and they always told you, we can't afford it, we can't do this, we can't do that, that's typically somebody who's going to have a belief generated from their parents, right, wrong. They're going to hold tight to their money because they've always been told, I can't afford it. So they're going to hold tight to everything they have and say, I'm not going to spend anything because I want to be able to afford it when it's my time.
I like that idea of what beliefs did you inherit? That can be a strong one. And I love asking people, one of like my main questions that I'll start conversations with is, what is your first money memory? That's in the same vein of, what's your inherited belief? So that's fantastic. What's your first money memory? Let's dive in a little bit there. And what's one of your inherited beliefs?
The first rule I was shown on money, right, wrong, or indifferent, was the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules.
No.
That was the that's the first thing that I was shown when it came to money.
How have you maybe changed that? Or how has that belief changed throughout as you've tried to change how you're succeeding with money?
There is a small sliver of truth to that. And what I mean by that is, who has the most influence in our country right now?
Yeah, the wealthy.
Most money. Just think about who right now has the most influence of today. It's the person with the most money. All right. So the question is, what are you going to do when you do get that influence? Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things that drives me is I want to be able to have a place of influence, and that influence is going to come after the increase comes. What I would like to be able to have is that influence to be able to have people move their lives forward with money, their goals, their visions, and their callings. And that's not going to happen without the increase. So that's one of the things that drives me financially beyond just the possessions and the abundance that comes with that. Things that I would like to see, and what really helps me set more goals to move forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're taking that idea you learned and that belief that was ingrained in you and saying there is some truth that there's influence that comes with money, but you're also saying, how can I use that influence for good? How can I use that influence to help people get to that same point? That's fantastic. I know that wasn't on the script, but you did a great job. You nailed that question.
So I appreciate that. The best that I can do is to add these small little things that maybe you would never hear anywhere else. One of the things we talked about earlier is getting around a group of people who maybe think a little bit different and are going places that you would like to go. Even just small little things for 5 or 10 second snippet that's going to say, you know what, that's going to help me break through and go to my next level.
Yeah. Find the people that can challenge you and surround yourself with them so that you can try out new ideas. But Ron, this has been a fantastic interview. Thank you so much for joining. I can feel your passion in what you're teaching us today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
Couple final questions. First one will be, how can people connect with you? And the second one, and our final question will be, what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner about financial success?
Okay. So how can people connect with me? The email that I would give you is info@heavenlytreasury.com. If you send a note there, it will get to me. I have a YouTube channel as well, Heavenly Treasury. A lot of the concepts I talk about are very spiritual in nature, although they will apply to anybody, believer or not. If you go to that YouTube channel, there's a link to the book that I have. I don't take a dime from that. Every single dime of it gets given away for a number of reasons, but I want to be able to have people achieve what they have been called to achieve in this life and their purpose and who they've been designed to be. So that's how awesome. You people can connect with me. One of the things that I wish I knew about financial success earlier that I think we got kind of already touched on is being driven by the budget, and that money does have to flow. All right. If the whole purpose of your financial success is the stockpile and the nice number on a screen, you're not going to achieve the success you would like, and you're not going to have the life that anybody else wants to have. So that's one of the things that I've learned over time, and it's been a long journey to get there. I still have a long way to go as well, but that's something that I'm striving for, to be able to have that financial success that I and my family would like to share.
One of the main quotes is going to be, money has to flow. Like, it has to go somewhere. You can't just stockpile it all. So Ron, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
What did you think about that interview? Let me know, shoot me an email, or leave a comment on Spotify, YouTube, or social media. But again, thank you to Ron for coming on. You could feel his passion in so many of those points we talked about, so make sure you check out his information and follow up with him if you had any questions. But let's talk about the money talking points now. The first one is, where do you feel like financial success is different for you than it was for your parents? Well, for me, I feel like it has to do a ton, like an insane amount less with homeownership. I think it has a lot more to do with how you're able to make money work for you and how you're able to use it wisely. I think a big giant part of success for my wife and I now is making sure we're using the money we got and trying to find that balance. It's less about rushing to purchase a home or anything like that. And I feel like success used to be a lot more built around a very specific lifestyle. And I think it's becoming more and more customizable and adaptable to whatever you want to do. And I think the internet plays a big part in that. It allows people to make money in so many new different ways, working from home, all sorts of things like that. But back to the point of not needing to own a home. I love this idea. And I wish more people would consider the absolute steal of a deal that renting can be, especially if you are renting. Consider how much money you are saving in PITI, which stands for principals, interest, taxes, and insurance. Because there are so many things that go into the cost of home ownership beyond just your rent payment. When your rent payment is likely the only thing you're paying, there may be some utility charges, maybe utilities are included in that, but utilities are also a cost you have to pay when you're owning a home, and your home is likely bigger and more expensive with utilities. So make sure you think about more than just a mortgage payment in comparison to a rent payment. There is so much more that goes into home ownership. A rent payment gives you much, much, much more flexibility, and flexibility is a big deal in times of uncertainty. But also, the certainty of owning your home is great if you are in uncertain times, so let's not forget about that, because there is an element of peace to completely owning your home outright, but that can be so difficult for young adults to even get to the point where that's even fathomable. It's hard to even get to the point where it's fathomable to have a mortgage with a decent mortgage payment, whereas you could be renting in a much more affordable manner that's able to allow you to free up so much more cash flow for investing. So make sure you figure out how it can actually work for you and determine the cost of both. What if you need to increase your income by finding the new job or potentially moving? Think about those sort of things where you may need to make some more money or move or things like that. And renting is going to give you that flexibility. And I stand by renting a lot when it comes to benefits, both cost-wise and personally in the lives of my wife and I. So I like to harp heavily on the benefits of renting. I know there's home ownership benefits, and of course this is biased because my wife and I have only ever rented. But if you love home ownership and want to maybe go back and forth about this, let me know. Shoot me an email and let's have a conversation about it. Maybe you can even come on the podcast, or I would love to hear some ideas from people who think maybe home ownership is the bee's knees and I'm completely wrong. Please let me know. But let's move on to the second money talking point here, which is how can you break out of your current situation to increase your income? Well, first, what if you need to quit your job? What if you need to be a bit more demanding of your needs with your current job? What if you need to figure out a way to make income on the side? Perhaps you have a job that fits really well into your life and you do truly have some free time where you can make some more income. Go for it that route. Try that out. The longer you wait, the harder life is going to make it for you to be able to start something on the side, especially if kids or family to care for or anything like that. It makes it a whole lot harder to start things on the side. It's going to be much more tricky to make those sacrifices that you need. The longer you wait, you're going to find yourself doing a whole lot more of what Ron said to avoid, which is living by the budget, which I really liked this idea that he suggested. It challenged us to think outside of our constraints we're putting on ourselves with a budget, because budgeting can sometimes be restrictive, especially if you're forcing yourself to live by it and you're not willing to take any risks. Maybe you do need to spend a few $100 to take a risk on an idea you have, but that's not in the budget, which makes it really hard to consider. So consider going outside that budget. See what you can flex on a little bit. Maybe there's some ways you can save money in another area to make the budget work for you so it's a little bit more comfortable on your mindset. But what do you need to push yourself to do in order to increase your income? Is it quitting a job? Is it starting some sort of side income? Is it maybe donating plasma or something like that to make a couple $100 real quickly that you can then put into your side hustle or whatever you want to start? Think of all these different ways you can make money and bring some money into your life, because that can be the best way to free up your time and things like that. So how can you break out of your current situation to increase your income? Also remember, increasing your income doesn't have to have a cap, but there is a floor to decreasing our spending. There's kind of a baseline. You will need X amount of money to live on, but you can increase your income as much as you want or as much as you have time for. So there is a theoretical cap of time, but you can continue to build your skills and increase your income much easier and much higher than you can ever decrease your spending. So instead of saying, how can my budget cut my spending? Think of ways you can increase your income. But now that you've thought about increasing your income, how can you write this down to help you out? Well, that's the third money talking point I'm going to talk about here. How can writing down your goals help you? Well, are you still setting goals? Like Ron said, this may be how you know you're stuck if you're not going anywhere, if you're not worried about setting goals. So make sure you think about that. When you stop setting goals, this is when you've allowed yourself to become complacent. What goal do you need to set? Let's think about it for a second here. Okay, write it down. Whatever goal just came to your mind in that instant that we paused, write it down. A goal that is not written down is just a wish. But even better, go tell somebody about it. Have a money talk with a fellow money buddy and tell them about your goals. If you need someone to tell about right now as you're thinking about this, go to the show notes, click on my email, and send me what you want to work on. And I can help you stay on top of it, and I'll help be your accountability partner or your money buddy. Writing down your goals can help you in a lot of ways. It can give you a deadline. It can make your goal seem more realistic and see that it's potentially attainable. It's going to help your mind start thinking in all these different ways to help you make it realistic. Writing it down is going to help you visualize it. It's going to help you begin to see it a little bit more. And this is one of the things that can be a little bit tricky. And I'm grappling with this since I try to do everything digitally. Well, maybe you don't do it digitally. Write it down on a notepad or a whiteboard. Make it more realistic and empowering. Try different ways of writing it down. Give it a shot. But make sure you keep setting goals so that you can continue to challenge yourself and progress. So that does it for the three money talking points today and that fantastic interview. So thanks to Ron for coming on. A quick side note here as we're wrapping up. I really liked Ron's idea of joining groups where there are a good handful of people who are going to challenge you and help you progress on where you want to go. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are heading somewhere. I've toyed with the idea of starting a Discord group for Money Buddies, and this is the first time it's ever being mentioned. So let me know what you would think about that. If you're still listening here at the end of the episode, there is a great chance that you're a hardcore fan. So thank you so much. But do we want to get a group for those of us still here at the end that could prove very useful for us to begin to build a community of people that are going somewhere? Because at the end of the day, financial success looks different for everyone, and that's okay. What works for our parents might not work for us, and it's about rethinking home ownership, finding new ways to increase income. Simply setting down and writing clear financial goals can also be helpful, but the key is to stay adaptable. The internet and modern economy offer more flexibility than ever, and it's up to us to take advantage of that. So challenge yourself. Think beyond the traditional rules. Take the steps, big or small, that will put you in a better financial position. But most importantly, keep setting goals because growth doesn't happen by accident. If this episode resonated with you, let's keep the conversation going. Please send me an email about your financial goals because I would love to help keep you accountable. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected to all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly to your coach. I'd love to work with you over there and help you with your budgeting. The link, of course, is in the show notes. And remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.